We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2010. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300. Well, Tuesday next week, November the 24th, is the 150th anniversary of Charles Darwin's book, Origin of the Species. Joining us to talk about that for the next few minutes, Ken Ham, founder, president, and CEO of Answers in Genesis, host of a daily radio program called Answers with Ken Ham, and he's author of several books, including his latest, Dinosaurs for Kids. Ken, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, it's great to be with you.
What exactly did Darwin propose in The Origin of Species?
Well, you know, in Darwin's day, of course, over there in England, a lot of people believed in God, and a lot of people attended church and believed that God created. But Darwin, first of all, in The Origin of Species, proposed the idea that because animals do change, and he saw changes in animals, he saw different breeds of dogs and pigeons and changes in mockingbirds, you know, and he sailed around the world in the boat, the beagle, he proposed that those changes, given enough time, would cause one animal to change into a totally different kind. In other words, reptiles to change into birds, mammals to reptiles to change into mammals, and so on. And he proposed the idea that animals evolved by natural processes, had nothing to do with God. And then at the end of the book, he actually put a little statement in there that he was going to apply this to man, to humans, which he did 12 years later in the book, The Descent of Man, and proposed the idea that ape-like creatures turned into people. But what Darwin did was give people a so-called, what they thought was a scientific justification for doing away with God and explaining life by natural processes. And it was really what the secular world wanted, and it took off from there and has permeated the world.
With only about a minute here before we take a break, Ken, someone might say, well, Darwin was partly right. We have a change within species. Was he on to something?
Well, Darwin was partly right. I mean, he was right about natural selection. We see natural selection occurring. He was right about speciation. We see different species forming. He was just wrong that was a mechanism to change one kind into another. What he was actually looking at was the incredible variability that God put in the genes of each kind, in the elephant kind, the cat kind, the dog kind, and so on. Because of that incredible variability, you can get lots of different species. There's lots of variation. He thought it was evolutionary changes, a mechanism to change one kind into a different kind. He didn't understand. He was looking at the creativity of our infinite creator God, and so he got that part wrong.
Ken Ham is our guest. When we come back, we'll have him for a few more minutes. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Ken is founder, president, and CEO of Answers in Genesis, host of a daily radio program called Answers with Ken Ham. He's author of several books, including his latest, Dinosaurs for Kids. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon, November the 20th. 1-877-623-MYIE. Email us with questions or comments right here in the studio. Talk back at issuesetc.org. When we come back, does evolution today bear much resemblance to evolution proposed by Charles Darwin? How has the theory, migrated around given the lack of evidence for it? And what kind of evidence is proposed for Darwin's theory? We'll answer those questions with Ken Ham after this. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A misinterpretation with consequences.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In 1979, the United Nations formed the Committee on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. CEDAW opposes domestic violence and all kinds of human trafficking. However, since 1995, the committee has also put pressure on dozens of nations to legalize or expand access to abortion. This is an egregious misinterpretation of its charter to assist pregnant women with both pre- and postnatal care. While the original intent was to protect women and unborn children, pro-abortion politicians in the West are tragically confused. Abortion is not health care.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
The gospel in the Bible is about the forgiveness of sins because of the work of Jesus Christ. That is largely absent in this book, and that is profoundly disturbing to me.
We should worry about the health of the church regardless of who's president, regardless of the direction of the nation.
We're in favor of women achieving their highest potential. Well, if that's what you believe, then you should love Margaret Thatcher and Sarah Palin every bit as much as you love Gloria Steinem.
After the service, Russell comes up to him and says, "Well, what did you think, brother?" And Winnikin says, "Well, I don't know if it was from God or the devil, but it certainly wasn't Lutheran."
In about 10 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week right now. We're talking with Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis about Charles Darwin's On the Origin of Species. November the 24th marks the 100th and 50th anniversary of that book. Does the theory today bear much resemblance to the theory as first proposed by Darwin and others, Ken?
Well, I think we would have to say, you know, yes, it does. It's very similar, but there's just there's some differences, and one major difference that we could talk about. For instance, Darwin. Many people don't realize that Darwin actually was Lamarckian in his views. What does that mean? Well, Lamarck was the idea of the concept of acquired characteristics. In other words, if a giraffe stretched its neck, then its young would have longer necks. And a lot of people would say, well, Darwin didn't believe that. Well, actually, he did. He actually believed in the inheritance of acquired characteristics. But he didn't have a mechanism, really. He didn't have admitted that there wasn't the evidence in the fossil record. But today, the difference would be that, yes, it still is the basic Darwinian concept, the way Darwin proposed it, and natural selection, speciation. But today, they would say, as a part of that mechanism, are mutations, because back then, Darwin didn't understand about genes. He didn't understand genetic information. And so now they add in, the neo-Darwinian view would be natural selection plus mutation, that mutations supposedly can add the new information into the genes to evolve one kind into another. And of course, we would say that although there can be what seem to be beneficial mutations in a sense, there's no mutations that add brand new information that never previously existed. You know, matter producing information, adding it into the genes to give it a totally new characteristic that wasn't potentially before that possible. We'd say that's impossible. No one's ever seen that. But that's the addition, if you like, to Darwin's ideas, the idea of mutation. And of course, today the Darwinists would not at all accept inheritance of acquired characteristics.
Finally, then, with only about 20 seconds, many would say it's just accepted as fact. Do you see evolution as something that 300 years from now will still be pushed by science, or will we look back on it as kind of a dark chapter in our understanding of our origins? About 30 seconds here, Ken.
Well, I would say this. Men love darkness rather than light. That's what the Bible says. And the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Man's always going to try to have some view to explain life without God. So there's always going to be some aspect of an evolutionary view. And it'll be a modified Darwinian view. Won't necessarily be the same as right now, but it'll be some evolutionary idea to explain life by natural processes. That's what man in his rebellion against God does.
Ken Hamm is founder, president, and CEO of Answers in Genesis, host of a daily radio show called Answers with Ken Hamm, and author of several books, including his latest, Dinosaurs for Kids. You can purchase Dinosaurs for Kids under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Ken, thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you.